The message you're about to listen to has been offered to cause a revival in your life. Now receive the ministry of FEM Foundation.
What a wonderful day and a wonderful, what a way to start a new decade. What a way to start a new decade to raise up your commitment level. You can join and they just had their class and to show them our structure, why we do the things we do, why we are called a family. The church is not a restaurant. The church is not a business. The church is a family. God started this world with two people and we are going back there. If you step out of the kingdom, if you step out of family, you have stepped out of the kingdom. Family is kingdom. Trinity is heaven's relational government. Praise the Lord. And we're starting this today with what I feel God is just laying in my heart to share with us today. The first service was a wonderful time in God's presence, and I believe that we are going to have an encounter. I'm just so excited about what God will use us to do this week, this coming weekend, in three cities, in Abuja, in Lagos, and in Benin, where we'll be doing the avalanche, heaven invading earth, just lifting up worship, and God will do what he wants to do with the sacrifice we are offering. We won't twist God on what to do. We won't give him an agenda. But the agenda we have is just to worship. That's our agenda. What he's going to do with our worship is left for him to do. Amen? And we are taking a risk. And we like taking risks. One of our culture here is risk and faith. So how? It's not that we are just taking risks. It's just that we are following him, what he has said. And we are doing the avalanche in different locations in Benin at the same time. Some are doing 12 hours, some are doing 6 hours. Here they are doing 24 hours. From 6 p.m. on the 25th to 6 p.m. on the 26th, non-stop praise and worship. And we just want to lift up that thing over our city, over our nation. And I invite you. You can invite people to the avalanche. We're starting on the 24th with Abuja by 6 p.m. They will round off by 6 a.m. on the 25th. Then Lagos will start from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. on the 25th. Then JRA will start from 6 p.m. on the 25th to 6 p.m. Ogunwenyi will start from 6 a.m. on the 26th to 12 noon. Same thing with Siloko. Upper will be 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. on the 26th. Same thing with Igboba Hill, Ugbowo. Pray for us. Pray for us. We have a word from the Lord. And it's not a concert. It's a worship intercession. I will encourage you that take at least one watch. One watch is 3 hours. It can be 6 a.m. The first watch of the night is 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. The second watch is from 9 p.m. to 12 p.m. 12 midnight. And the fourth watch of the night, the third watch of the night is from 12 to 3 a.m. The fourth watch, which is the last watch of the night, is from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. Then the first watch of the day is 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. You can decide to choose which of the ones you want to be, but we just want you to be at least for one watch. One watch. Some people can do two watches. It's not that if you don't have the strength to stay for long, it's okay. But it's just that we want worship to be going constantly. We want praises and thanksgiving to be going nonstop. David instituted this in Israel. That's why he sought the presence of God. I like to appreciate the men. Oh, it was a wonderful time on the sixth day of the week, which is Friday. We had men, both married, teenage boys, they gathered. I even saw men became nursing fathers. They came with their children. Some carried their children. I saw one carry four. It was a wonderful time. And they understood what the women go through. Yeah. One of them had to go and look for his son in the women's toilet and say, "My son, what are you doing in the women's toilet?" Say, we had a wonderful time. I saw vulnerable men. I saw men worshiping. There is something that happens when men decide to pursue God. He said, let every man take a lamb. Let every man. What a man touches, we touch the family. What a man touches, we touch the family. Every man must decide. I asked somebody today, I said, the way you are doing this thing, do you want your daughters to marry somebody that does not go to church? He said, no. I said, why? Why? But you. You. Amen? And that's what we need to do. Men, just show up. Lift up hands. Let your children know who you trust. So that when you are telling them God will provide, they know how it is. You are the one that set the culture at home. It's not to shame you. Some of you did not have time to be around. There's no shame, no judgment. But even practice it in your house. Let them know. Lead them. Bless them every day. Let them know you are the one blessing them. Am I making sense? And let them know that you are for the King. Amen? Amen. So, because some of you were in some places that you needed to be. And that place also, you are worshiping God. I hope you know that there's no, this is my spiritual life, this is my carnal life. You are a spirit being. And so everything you do is spiritual. Because if you do not know that everything you do is spiritual, when you are sleeping, you will wake up and say, krakaka. Sleeping is spiritual. Eating is spiritual. Drinking water is the best spiritual thing that you can that you can do. Everything about you is spiritual. So don't take that route. I just want to share something as we move into the avalanche. In Genesis chapter 22 and verse 1, it says, "Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, he said, Yeah, I am. Then he said, Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Verse 4, Then on the third day Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey, and the lad and I will go yonder and worship, and will come back to you. Say, go yonder and worship. Yeah. In John chapter 4, verse 21, conversations of Jesus and the woman by the well. In fact, somebody gave me a souvenir from Israel containing the water from that well. Jesus said to her, Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming. Now is when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Today I want to talk about the supreme call to worship. The supreme call to worship. Lucifer was created as the worshiping cherub, the worshiping archangel, to actually bring and cover the throne and just bring worship before the throne of God. The Bible says he was beautiful. He had instruments all lining his body. He was the one created for that. And when pride was found in him, what happened was that he was cast down from the mountain, and the replacement that God replaced him with were his sons and daughters, you and I. And that's why the enemy is mad at you, because you are the one that took that position to bring him worship. He said, I'm going to create my children who are not hired servants, they are my sons, willingly giving me worship. But man rebelled against God by obeying the dragon. And so we're cast out from the garden. But you see, Jesus came and recreated us. That means that we are not carrying the nature of Adam. It's a created nature that the world have never seen. That's why you are born again. You are now a new creature. A new creature means that a speck nobody has ever seen before. That's who you are. And the day you gave your life to Christ, you were the recreated being that the psalmist spoke about that will bring praise in their generation. They saw us, and we are the ones that will bring worship to him. Worship is our expression of our word for him. In other words, in worship, we are just expressing how wonderful God is. So worship is the end itself. It's not a means to an end. It's not a means to an end. Everyone worship, it depends on who. You might worship different things. Some people worship themselves. Some people is football. Some people is series. Nobody can take your worship. No, you create space for it. And you will always become like who you worship. You always become like who you worship. When worship was first mentioned, it was not about singing or dancing. It was about trust in God. So when the first time worship was mentioned was in Genesis chapter 22. And it was all about trust. There was no dancing. There was no singing. It said, my servants, wait. Ah, my son, we are going to that mountain to worship. And what was he going to worship? To sacrifice his son. And the writers of Hebrews said that Abraham believed God that he's the one that will be able to resurrect his child. So even if I sacrifice, he's the one that gave me. So I trust him to the extent that I am willing to lay down my son because he is faithful. So when we say worship is the end, we are saying that I'm worshiping him because I trust him. And so everything about me, worship him. So when I'm in a place and people are doing the things that are not supposed to be done, but God has said, no, you cannot do that because you are my child. That means that I'm restricted because it says that I'm going to reward you. It's signifying trust. In fact, David had that contradictions in his life. What's the contradiction? He said, I was envious of the wicked. In other words, I saw how they prosper. The wicked was prospering every day. People are doing some things and they are going forward every day, and it seems as if you are being cheated. They say everybody is doing it, so I must do it. That means that it's not morality by majority. Unconsciously, some women just believe that every man must cheat. And unconsciously, men believe that, I must. Unconsciously, we believe in a nation that you have to be bad to get money. Unconsciously, it's just. But in fact, if you even open your mouth, there will be. Unconsciously, it's just normal for you to just wee on the road. And so David said, I have a contradiction in my life. The wicked are prospering every day. But what made him to put his trust is that when he got into the house of the Lord, his perspective changed. He saw their end. And so he understood that they need help. So, is that I worship money or I worship God? The Bible speaking, it said, you can't worship God and mammon. And it's not money. Mammon is what attaches itself to your increase and your abundance. When you start having money, what attaches itself is something trying to exalt you. That's mammon. Above who you are is the spirit of mammon. There are two extremes. There's one extreme called the spirit of poverty. There's another one called the spirit of mammon. These two extremes. So what would the enemy do? The enemy sponsors the two your way for you to hate one and love one. And loving, spirit of poverty is to suppress you. Spirit of mammon is to exalt you. So he said, you know what? You can't serve me and mammon. He didn't say you can't serve me and money. Because you can use money to serve God, but mammon can control you that you become sensual. That's why some of you don't need 1 million naira. You will backslide. Because that 1 million naira will define your trust. How much is too big for you? The money that is too big for you is the money that will make you lose trust for God. Some people, it's 20,000 naira. I'm telling you. So you must understand that and stay put and ask, because the goal is that I worship God and God understands me and know that if I'm worshiping Him, I'm just telling Him I trust you. So I don't need to worry, I need to worship. Because in this world, you will have persecution, you will have troubles. But it's a boy of good cheer, I've overcome the world. And how do I know He has overcome? By constantly following Him, following His voice. In Genesis 22, verse 7 to 8, what was worship? Isaac asked the father, but Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, "My father," and he said, "Yeah, I am, my son." Then he said, "Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" In verse 8, he said, "My son, God will provide for Himself the lamb for a burnt offering." So the two of them went together. What was he saying? "We are going there to worship." And he said, "Everything is ready." Say, "My father, where is the burnt offering?" Say, "God will provide." He didn't say, "I will sacrifice you." Because I'm sure Abraham did not like that instruction. But he was obeying in the instruction because he believed in the one who is able to provide despite him not understanding that contradiction. Are there times in your life you don't understand what God is saying, but you are following because this is how He has taken you through before. He's telling you, "Give this thing to me. I want it now." Because do you know that Isaac would have become a god to Abraham? For you not to have a child for a number of period, and now having that child. You know, when we gave her to our child, my wife did not want to walk again. Her own goal was to be looking at the child. She didn't want to pastor. I said, my husband, you are free. We are too. I'm just be looking at it. So I'm the one that gave birth to this child. The Lord is my strength, is my help. And I said, no, this one will cause problem for me in future. So 2 months later, I packaged her for a crusade in Agbo so that she can ask him to meet some witches and minister to people. And I said, you still want to be looking at the child. Everybody will follow you, including everybody. They just follow. And so you can go and preach. The child will be in the room so that when you come back, you see the child. And that's how I sorted that out, because by now I would have been in problem. Am I making sense? Because the child will say, "Mommy, leave me now." In fact, he wants to take his bike. Say, "Mommy, excuse me." I say, "But I'm your mother." I say, "Eh?" But and I told my wife, I say, "Very soon we tell you, Mommy, I've seen a girl. There's no..." He said, "You are not calling me." I said, "And so I will tell my wife, 'Love me, I'm here for you all the days of your life. I'm not going anywhere. We started this race together, we are moving together. All these people, they are strangers. They will come and they will go. So just love me. Just love me." Where was I before? I'm back to the point. So it's either you worship what He gives you or you worship Him, because He is the one that provides that thing. And my worship is that I trust Him, He will be able to provide even when I don't see how He's going to provide. Am I making myself clear? So worship is the end, not the means to an end. I've seen people, maybe somebody gave a testimony that I was in a problem and I danced all through the night. In the morning, things happened. And the question is that we did not know that the person danced, he didn't dance because he was going to get breakthrough in the morning. So we copied that testimony and go home. We have financial problem. We will not sleep. He said, "My friend danced." And so our worship is unto something. It's like we want to arm twist God. "God, you see, I'm dancing. I'm losing strength now." So you become like who you worship. If you worship money, you become like that. If you worship food, you become like that. If you worship anything, you worship movies, you become like that. But when you worship God, what will happen is that you are now being transformed. The Bible says that we should behold and become. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. It said, "As you behold the glory of God, then you now become." In this kingdom, you don't study to become. You behold. It's an encounter to become. As Peter encountered the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2, Peter, boldness entered into Peter, and in the crowd, some days ago, they were hiding. But when there was an encounter, because
Authority comes by the commissioning. He said, I've given you authority to go and disciple nations. But power comes by encounter. Many of you have authority, but you don't have power. What is the authority? A policeman stands in front without gun and everything. Once he lifts his hand, that's authority, you stop. But when you want to misbehave, he casts the distance. This is power. Same thing. You have been commissioned. And so, you can speak and the enemy goes. But the enemy is not proving stubborn. You say, there is something on the inside of me. I command you now, leave this place right now. And that's when you now come, the miracle signs and wonders. But when you get into the marketplace, authority now comes. As you speak, they come out from their hiding place. Authority comes in the commissioning. When you open your mouth, they'll say, what type of wisdom is this? These are the two dimensions that you need to operate. You need to operate in authority. You need to operate in power. One cannot go without the other. Most people they don't have authority now, but because they have dealt with purity. Nobody trusts them anymore. But they have power. They can reach the sick. But it must go together. You must have purity. You must have power. You must have authority. You must have power. These are the two things that are going. And because at the sound of your voice, they shall come out from their hiding places. That's why I don't go looking for the devil. But when he stands in my way. Because if I go looking for the devil, I'm worshiping him. Because you are most conscious of who you worship. In Ezekiel 44, verse 15 to 16, it said, but the priests, the Levites, the sons of Zadok, who keep charge of my sanctuary when the children of Israel went astray from me, they shall come near me to minister to me, and they shall stand before me to offer to me the fat and the blood, and says the Lord God. In verse 16, it said, they shall enter my sanctuary, they shall come near my table to minister to me, and they shall keep my charge. It said, they shall come to minister to me. In Ezekiel, they were in exile. But it still spoke about the priesthood. And all of us, we are royal priesthood, a chosen generation. What is ministering to the Lord? Ministering to the Lord is in pray, is in thanksgiving, is in praise. You are thanking God for what he did for you. You are praising him for who he is. But you see, all encompassing is worship. So that's why I say in Psalm 100, you enter his gates with thanksgiving in your heart. You enter his courts with praise. Then you will say, in other words, there is protocol in heaven. Whether you have a problem, this is the protocol. The protocol is that when you are coming to me, come with thanksgiving. Come with what I have done. It doesn't matter whether I'm not doing anything, and come with praise. What is praise? I'm going to thank God and praise him in the midst of contradictions. Are there contradictions in your life? There are some contradictions in your life you cannot understand. You cannot explain. You have dotted the T's. You have crossed the I's. You thought that by now you'll be able to pay school fees because of what you have planned. Now school fees has come. There's a problem that came and wiped out the money. And you are asking God, this is what I need to, this is what is going on in my life. I didn't plan for this. I didn't bargain for this. And things are going on wrong. You pray for somebody who is not your brother of a sickness, of cancer, the sickness go. Your mother is still struggling in cancer. You are bind. You have loose. You have caused everything. Things are going through this thing. In fact, if you are wondering, you have done all the praise and worship, all the tactics, the blood of Jesus, communion, you have drank, everything you have done, you have all night prayer it has done. It's still contradiction, but you saw one person, you lay hands on the person was well. They came to give you testimony. You have prayed for people, they are receiving their babies. You are still looking for baby. I don't understand. And so what do I do with that contradiction? Those contradictions becomes incense in my incense burner. So, because that's the privilege I have in this other side of life, where I come before God to give him praise in the midst of the contradiction. I don't have that privilege in heaven, because in heaven, everything is perfect. And so how do I give him praise? I come today and say, Lord, I thank you. Even when there's no child, I'm still battling with this thing. I have something. I've not been able to do it. I've made all the plans. I'm putting it. I'm offering it as a living sacrifice. That is the privilege you have in this other side. You will never have it. So don't you ever waste a hurt. Don't waste a disappointment. Don't waste things in your life. You need to put it in that incense burner and begin to lift it up to God. And why? You don't know what is going on. You don't know what he is doing. But one thing that you are sure is that it's a good God. That's a good father. It's a good father. He didn't sponsor sickness your way. You might be sick. He didn't kill your father. He didn't kill your mother. Because we are the one that gave insurance company. God gave insurance company that God is a bad God. It's called the acts of God. It's uninsurable. So when you are going through something, say it's God that is punishing you. God punished Jesus on the cross. The wrath of God's judgment, Jesus drank there. Does it mean that God is not hurt by but is in a good mood? Because sin itself has been dealt with. What you are going through are the misbehavior of a saint who does not know that he's no longer a sinner. Because sinner is a nature, saint is a nature. But having to live righteously is a problem right now. That's why we are going through many of the crises you go through. Because you do not understand. And that's why every day, as you worship God, you hear him saying, you are my righteousness. I have taken away your pain. I have taken away your sickness. Jesus died in your place. You are no longer having your relationship with me. You are having Jesus' relationship with me. That is what you are having right now. And that's what we must keep. And come before him and worship him, praise him, thank him, thank him. That's why you can develop a lifestyle of gratitude, but you must move it further to a place where you are a worshiper. In John chapter 4 that we read just now, you look at where it says, and God is seeking for worshipers. It's not seeking for worship. If he's seeking for worship, then I cannot worship because sometimes I get the key right. Sometimes I misplace it. Sometimes my voice go. But I thank God he didn't say let everything that has voice. But he said everything that has breath. So a deaf and dumb. A person on his bed, not able to move as long as he's breathing. Can praise God. And you also can praise God. And so all you need to do, in the midst of my tears, you are still good. In the midst of my contradictions, in the midst of tension, in the midst of mystery. The problem is that many of us don't want to live within the mystery. There must always be mysteries in your life. There are things that are happening in your life you have no explanation with. Have faith for it. Because if you have faith for it and trust him, he will walk you through and later tell you why. God is looking for worshipers, not worship. So why worshipers? Why is God looking for worshipers? I want to share some things with you before we go home today. Worshipers are the sacrifice. In the Bible, you will have the sacrifice of praise. You have the sacrifice of thanksgiving. But you have never had the sacrifice of worship. Because in worship, you are the sacrifice. You are the sacrifice. In Romans 12 verse 1, the Bible says, and so dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice. Do you know why we fast? We fast because at the end of the day, everything about you should be worshiping God. So in time of fasting, you are fasting off of something so that you can actually connect to God. So in fasting time, your body is worshiping. The kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship. So it's not your agenda anymore. It's his agenda. So I'm not worshiping because I'm worshiping laying down everything. In other words, when things are not going well in my life, instead of me worrying, I worship. When things are not well in my life, I come before him and say, you know what? I don't know what is happening in my life. There's this pain in my heart. There's this pain in my marriage. But I don't know. But I trust you, you can. In that point in time, I don't want to twist you. I don't want to do anything. But I'm just laying down my life and telling you, you are the one. You are the best. You are the person that will do it. You are a good, good father. You have a perfect plan for me. I may not know the plan, but you have a perfect plan. Things are not working out in our nation. It has a perfect plan. Things are not working well in our city. It has a perfect plan. This morning I was saying, this week I just had a spontaneous thought that this state can be a crime-free state. This city can be a crime-free city. And the pastor's prayer this morning, my wife he just said, I saw this morning that fire is a camping around our city. And it may not look like that. And the place of worship, because you are dead now, you are a sacrifice. You now take his own agenda instead of your own. You now see what he wants to do, not your own, not your pain. That's when you now see that your neighbor is not really your enemy. It's just that there is something working against him and controlling his behavior. Worshippers don't worship for effects, but effects happens when they do. So that's why God is looking for worshippers. There are people, we say, when you praise, you raise. You praise, you raise. I've also heard this statement that there's only thing, God can do everything for himself. There's only one thing he cannot do for himself. He can't praise himself. Lie. It's a subtle lie. That means that God has ego problem. He's just in heaven. He's a self-sufficient God. There is nothing he can't do for himself. He doesn't need you. What if all of us decide not to worship him? He will not be sad. He will not be sad. And we have used it to cajole. You know, we use it to motivate people to worship. How can you be here and God desire your worship? Come on, lift him. There's one thing God cannot do for himself. He that has a light that shall take the blessing. It's motivation. What if somebody does not have voice? So his blessing is shortchanged. That's why I tell worship leaders, don't shame us to worship. Did you bring your two hands to church? Are your legs paining you? Put on your dancing shoe. And let's give God praise. Come on. I understand those things. I'm not saying it's bad. Same thing. I understand that where that's another extreme. There's another extreme that you come to. You don't want to mess up yourself. Say, my brother, cool down. Must you jump? Must you jump? MD, you are lying down. You know, sometimes we want to sing. You see, avalanche is coming. That's where I will collect my blessing. That's how I will collect my blessing. Come on. And so you do everything to untwist him. You even give in a bid to get. It's an ATM. Pa, pa. I'm not saying that God will not give you if you give. Am I making sense? But when that becomes a motivation for you worshiping, for you giving, it becomes a motivation that I will bring this money and I will land it, bah, kalo, kalo. I will collect. It becomes gambling. And the day you don't really collect, maybe as you give, bawa. You see, as I gave the altar, I shoot, bah, 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 bah. Then, as you go to the office, that is the time the person that said he will give you contract cancel the contract. Bah. That becomes contradiction and confusion. But they say, when I give, I will get. Listen, the goal of your giving is not getting. The goal of your giving is more giving. Because we give, not because we have. We give because we have received. So that I don't need to now preach another sermon to motivate you again. But you just understand, a worshiper, a Shango worshiper does not care what you say. When they are worshiping their juju, I remember in 1980-something, somebody might, they are come worship God, his own juju with 500,000. 500,000 is still not a small money now. Imagine the 80s. My father bought his car in 1979. 7,000 naira. Brown new 504 GRO. So most worshippers do not worship for effect. I'm just abandoned because I trust him. And I'm reporting because I want to be like him. The Bible says in Acts 15, 15 to 18, look at what happened. The church in Jerusalem began to hear testimonies of churches in Gentiles' world. People were coming en masse into the kingdom. And they were giving their life to Christ. Salvation was hitting the Gentile world. And they were having the Jerusalem council meeting. And Apostle James, the half-brother of Jesus, rose up and said, "The words of the prophets are in agreement with this, as is written." What is he going to quote? He's going to quote Amos chapter 9, 11 to 13. He said, "After this I will return and rebuild David's fallen tent. His ruins I will rebuild and I will restore it, that the remnant of men may seek the Lord." In Amos chapter 9, it says they will possess the remnant of Edom. In the Old Testament, when you read the Old Testament, they're talking about enemies, is people. But in the New Testament, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. What's the stronghold in your mind? But it says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. In other words, our enemies that we are fighting, they are no longer human beings. There are the forces that control those human beings will wrestle, and you have no power to kill them. You can't fry them. You can't kill them. They can't die. There are spirits that control people. So what happens? He said, as the tabernacle of David was restored, what's the tabernacle of David? Is just people giving God praise and worship 24 hours of the day, and they are worshiping God. As long as they are worshiping, there's worshiping community in Nigeria, there can never be closed heavens. There can never be closed heavens. And so, and all Gentiles who bear my name, says the Lord, who does this thing that have been known for ages. In other words, what Apostle James was saying is that as long as we have instituted the tabernacle of David, salvation is taking place everywhere. You do not understand what, there's a connection between worship and salvation. Worship is that it blows away darkness over a city, and people will start seeing the manifestation of Jesus, so that it will be said that the person who persecuted the gospel is not the one advancing it. Speaking about Apostle Paul, am I making myself clear? Same thing. There is a what is called a 1040 window that they were used. The word intercessors. Intercessors were praying over that 1040 window. It covers the northern part of Nigeria, even Europe and other parts of the world. Those were the 1040 window they said were close to the gospel. And so prayers were being released every day. For a number of years, they were releasing it. Years they were releasing it. Today, in those areas, people see the visitations of Jesus. And what do we do in Avalanche? So that men will seek him. What do you do on a Sunday service? You lift up worship so that men may seek him. This morning I came to church. I even told Pastor Mercy. I saw some people here. The way they were dancing, I started dancing because they have kicked into something I don't know. Let me tell you. Sometimes when you don't feel like worshiping and you start worshiping, it is not fake. It is faith. I've heard many Christians say, "I don't feel pretend. I have to be real. I'm sorry, I'm not realistic. I'm supernatural." He said, "They must be realist." We are not realist. Because as the Spirit hovered on the surface of the deep, it's not the word, it's not saying, "Let there be light." I'm not a realist. In other words, I can go into my... That's why sometimes you need to close your door so that they will not hear you. When the Bible says, "Exalt the name of the Lord," you know what it means? It means to jump up and twist around. How many of you do that in church? When they say, "Magnify the Lord," you know what is magnify? Magnify says to make God big. Can you make God big? No. Magnify the Lord means that you make God bigger than your circumstance. And so when we come for worship, said I see somebody dancing and I'm feeling weak. Listen, there's some time I don't have to come to church. I'm telling you the truth. I don't. Oh, Sunday again. I just want to sleep. But iron sharpened iron. I come. And the worship service has started. I give somebody a hug. Somebody calls me. Somebody shakes me. Heat is coming. What they carry is rubbing up on me. Before you know it, I'm jumping, I'm bouncing, I'm saying, "Why did I even not want to come to the family gathering?" No, but some people say, "It doesn't matter. I worship the Lord in my room. I have my personal Lord and Savior." There is nothing like personal Lord and Savior in Scripture. Nothing. There is nothing like personal Lord and Savior. Salvation is a family-creating event. The reason why you have personal Lord and Savior is that you can carry that personal Lord and Savior to anywhere. As they offend you, say, personal Lord and Savior, let's go. In a worshiping community, you know what happens? Then we now become one accord. It's like worship. And that's synonymous with you sleeping with your wife. Help you know when you are sleeping with your wife, God is happy. The greatest, highest form of worship is going on. The person that says yes, are you married? Because I now retrace, I say, ah. Because I don't know what's going on here. But you see, as I worship him, I don't know what happens. People who are at home on their bed, they are seeing Jesus. So when people say, oh, this country will go down, this country will go down. When I open the country, I see 24 hours worship. There's a country I know, 24 hours worship for 20 years. 20 years. So how will it happen? Which takes us to the next point. Worshippers engage in the war of peace. The war of peace. We need peace in our state. We need peace in Nigeria. Worship is a form of war. There's a war of peace. It was demonstrated in the Old Testament in a minute form. But when they were worshiping in Acts chapter 15, people who were bound by darkness, they were coming en masse into the kingdom. How many of you, who would have preached to Apostle Paul? Who? Who? You will now tell him, I'm born again. Have you given your life to Jesus? I came to share the word of God with you. Even when God sent Ananias, I said, I'm not going. Is he not that guy? No. You want to engage in war. Somebody say, let there be war. Say, there be war. Let there be war. Let there be war. Ah, some of you are already pumping. You want to engage in the war of peace? Worship. I don't know how God does it. You are in the midst of worship and he goes and does something and you say, I just did this for you. Say, when did I ask for it? He said, when you were worshiping, so I converted it. The Bible says in Matthew 21, 14 to 16, then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things he did and the children crying out in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant because exorbitant worship will always irritate those who are not involved. And said to him, do you hear what these are saying? And Jesus said to them, yes, have you never read? Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise. See, every time Jesus spoke. So when people tell you that the Old Testament is not of now, anything Jesus referenced was in the Old Testament. And what was Jesus referencing was Psalm 8 verse 2. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength. And Jesus is saying you have perfected praise. Is he misquoting scripture? It's the word of God. In perfected praise, there is strength. That's why the Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. There's a joy that is in the presence of God that gives you strength. So when you are giving worship, you stand up and say, I will go back to that job. They can't kill me. Strength comes. Courage is imparted to you. He said, because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. that he may silence the enemy. So worship is a form of silencing. That silence. And how does it go? You see, God goes ahead, interprets your worship as a prayer request. Then he goes and binds what is giving you instability and releases peace to you. And you are wondering, how come my husband has just changed overnight? How come my wife has just changed overnight? How come there is development coming in our nation that we cannot see? How come that in the midst of chaos, overnight, things just changed? Because in the midst of worship, you just engage in a war of peace. The Bible says in Romans chapter 16, verse 20, and the God of peace. And the God of peace will cross Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. In the word, peace is the absence of chaos, is the absence of fighting, is the absence of crime, is the absence of this. But you see, in the kingdom, peace is the presence of a person. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Is the Prince of Peace. That's why you get to your office. People are complaining. They are saying, this are not going on well. You know what happened? You come and say, what's going on? I say, you are not in this country. You are not in this country. Have you heard that? Have they told you before? You are not in this country. I'm sure you are listening to Bensi Ahigbe. He's deceiving you people. You are not in this country. Don't mind them. Take off now. Go and get a visa. Move. Let me tell you. This thing is not working. It's not going to work. Niger can never be good. Who said so? He said, can a nation be taken in a day? And so God is using your words as a prophetic utterance. You want anything to happen. Nothing happens in this kingdom until the first of all a declaration. So if you want to live a life that you desire in the next 10 years, look for it in the word. Package it into a song and start singing it. You will sing yourself into a new day. You will sing your marriage into a new day. You will sing your children into a new day. That's why even don't bother about your children misbehaving. Sing them into their destiny. Speak a word. Begin to speak it to their life. The more you speak it, the more shaking happens. But keep on speaking. The more you speak, the more you sing. Let God give you a song this time. Get the song. It may not have key. It's called spontaneous song. Spontaneous song has no key. You don't need to go to the studio and record it. No. You don't need to go to the studio and record it. I can't forget one day. It was a midweek service. Somebody just lost the sister and came. This is the person, the sister we saw on Saturday. And by Wednesday, everything gone. She's gone. Down and out. He could not stand up throughout the service. He was sitting around that place. Could not stand up throughout the service. He was weak. Everything was. And all of a sudden, it was during the close of the service, the choir were singing. I can't forget. They got a spontaneous song. We have not recorded that song. I'm sure they tried to sing it again. It did not rhyme. It did not rhyme because it's not about the recording. It's not about the key. It's not. You can just say, "Yibigalnamimano." He will get it. It's a song. Just the same. It's not about the English rhyming because English is not your official language. It's not even about the song itself because some native song will be downloaded to you that you can't even record. Very deep. That you even have to call somebody to say, what did this song mean? But you are just singing it. It's a spontaneous song. Am I making myself clear? And they were singing it that day. All of a sudden, I could see joy coming. Joy. It's not that the person did not die again or he resurrected. It was just that joy coming. Am I making sense? Because many people think that I need to see a tangible manifestation. God needs to show. Listen, God will show in the midst of that thing that you are going through. He may not show to give you and give you what you expected. But he said, those that are brokenhearted, I'm close to you. I'm close to you. And get it clear. We need to get to that level where we need to understand. I'm in a war of peace. Nobody will die. But ultimate justice is this. That the man that persecuted the gospel is now the one advancing it. Ultimate justice is this, is that the person who is in prison, God has gone to judge the spirit that made him behave wrongly and cut it off from his life. And the person is now saying, I don't know why I did this. So ultimate justice or ultimate judgment of God is salvation. And as we engage in this worship in this season, many of you will get to this level and say, God, you are too much. You will just know. The answers may not come as in the way people will think, but you have peace. The money may not be there the way you want it to be there with you and your husband, but all of a sudden, there is this connection that you and your wife have that you have never seen before in life. It's not because the circumstances have changed, but you have changed in that circumstance because you have invited the person that changes circumstance to be with you. So you are seeing differently. You are now understanding where two or three are gathered in my name. You stay in the place of worship and you are worshiping. You are worried and bothered. And all of a sudden, people are coming against you, telling you, you can't be promoted in this place. We are the one that owns this place. And all of a sudden, a song rises. You be God, you not be man, no. You be God, you not be man, no. Jehovah Shammah, you be God. You be God, oh. You be God, you know. Quiet yourself down and stay before Him. Because in His presence, your worries are tamed. Every time I feel worried, I see contradictions every day in my life. The only time I go, I get into the prayer room sometimes. Sometimes I lie down, sometimes I kneel down, sometimes I'm dancing. I'm just spreading myself there. Lord, I don't know why. But I've done all we need to do. I don't know why this thing is there. I don't know why the husband left. I don't know why the wife left. I don't know why you are going through all these things when you did everything right. I don't know why we have insurgency and insecurity in Nigeria. But I can't forget one day. It was a women's all night that there was an anointing upon a song that they were singing here. A Benin song. Most times when God gives me songs of deliverance, it's not English language. So sometimes you can call me a local boy, but it's okay. And that's when I began to sing. Your protection is enough for me to hide. Your feathers is enough for me to hide. Psalm 91 and Psalm 120. I will lift up my eyes to the hills where my help comes. And during Cure for Desert Prayer, Apostle Philip Chimene said, he preached the message, the mercy of God, helped by God. There are two things that happen when you worship. God can tell you, stand still, I will fight to confirm your sonship. But there's another one, he says, don't worry. Take up this thing and go and do this thing. He wants to fight through you to confirm your authority. But in every battle, you must know the one he wants to use, because you can't use the two at the same time. You can't stand still and move forward at the same time. And I believe we have come into a season where God is saying, forget what's going on in your country. Forget what's going on in your life. Trust me. It happened in South Korea when prayer caves began to emerge. Forget about what's going on in the body of Christ. God will sort it out. Your criticism cannot sort it out. Apostle Paul said, even if they preach the gospel for money, it's okay. The only reason is that the thing is that is the gospel preached. He said, yes, okay, God will sort it out. He will sort it out. We are not claiming we are perfect, that we have all the answers. No, 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 no. We are just doing the bit of what God sent us. We are watching our war. And we are watchmen on the wall, watching our own side of it. If the other people watch it and your other stream watch your own, will come into that place where men and women who are out of the gospel will come in. Rise up on your feet. God, I look to you. Give me wisdom, vision, to see things like you do. God, I look to you. You're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom. You know just what to do.
Thank you for listening to this message. For other life-transforming messages, please call 0805-1028-787 or 0706-969-6499 or visit our website at www.femfoundationng.org.